I'll be very upfront. It is a sales call. Not sure if that makes you want to slam the phone in despair or let me have 30 seconds and decide.
I'm sharing the full strategy an absolute noob like me used at cold calling to make 100K last year. Hey, I'm Sam Dunning, founder over at BreakingB2B.com. And if you want to join thousands of legends enjoying my weekday B2B marketing tips, stories, and guides, head over to BreakingB2B.com and hit the newsletter tab. In this episode, I'm sharing the full tips, tools, strategy, and mindset you need to make cold calling work to drive qualified conversations and meetings with dream clients. Let's dive in. But first, a bit of background. So cold calling for me actually started as a bit of an experiment. I'm by no means, in fact, far from a cold calling or sales expert. I have interviewed a bunch of sales trainers and experts on my podcast, my top 10 B2B marketing podcast, Breaking B2B. Folks like Benjamin Dennehy, the UK's most hated sales trainer, John Barrows, Jack and Zach from We Have a Meeting, and many more. Learn a few tips from those folks. And in fact, that they preach cold calling worked. I thought, well, I'm spending probably an hour or two each and every day on LinkedIn, messing around, scrolling, maybe doing a few comments. What if I could put that time to good use, run a bit of an experiment, at the same time test our messaging for Breaking B2B, try and lead with some kind of pattern interrupt, which we'll talk about more when I share the process, talk about the problems we fix, see if they resonate with our dream clients, and see if we can set some appointments. So that time that I'm wasting messing around on LinkedIn, I could do some dials, grab a dialer, try and connect to some ideal client profiles, strike up some conversation, get some meetings on the book and build up my pipeline. And meanwhile, I can have LinkedIn on my other PC screen, scroll around, do some comments, do some posts and build up my LinkedIn profile whilst I'm experimenting with cold calling. So what I did was at Breaking B2B, for example, the three core problems we fix is if you're tired of seeing competitors above you on Google organic search when clients are searching for what you do, or perhaps you invest in SEO or paid ads already, but your website isn't converting a steady flow of leads or clients from the site, or maybe you work with an agency already, but they're not actually delivering the results promised. So we fix that with our unusual approach to SEO, content marketing, and websites. So I led with those three problems. I led with a pattern interrupt on my pitch on cold calling. And before I knew it, I was setting some appointments and eventually closed a $72K USD deal. And after that, several more website and SEO deals over the course of the last year. Thought this thing has some legs, so I could spend 2 hours a week cold calling in my spare time where I would have been messing around on LinkedIn. So I'm going to share that process with you and we're going to dive into it. So let's dive into the cool flow or framework that I've been following. So first and foremost, we've got what's called a pattern interrupt, which you may or may not have heard of. And that is basically something that when this prospect that you're calling is first answering their call, we want to throw them off a bit. We want to grab their attention and essentially make them not hang up on us. So we usually use something that's disarmingly honest and kind of throws the prospect back a bit because they're like, why is a sales rep being so upfront and so transparent? So my opener is, I did not coin this. I've heard folks like Benjamin Dennehy and many other sales folk use this as a pattern interrupt. So it's, hey, Steve, or hey, Sally, I'll be very upfront. It is a sales call, so I'm not sure if that makes you want to slam the phone or throw your phone out the window, or perhaps let me have 30 seconds and then decide.
I'll be very upfront. It is a sales call. I'm not sure if that makes you want to slam the phone in despair or let me have 30 seconds and decide.
So essentially we're saying, this is a sales call. We are calling you out of the blue. Can I have 30 seconds or do you want to slam the phone or chuck your phone out the window? Quite often you'll get a laugh. Very occasionally people will give a hard no. We'll dive into some of the other objections in a second, but most of the time people will say something like, who are you and where you're calling from? To which you can reply something like, I'll tell you what, can I quickly whiz through why it was I chose to call you? And then if you want, you can end it there, or it might be worth a conversation. Is that fair? most of the time they'll say yes.
It's all good. I've run kind of inside sales teams, so I know how it works. Go for it.
Appreciate that. So in short,
another pattern interrupt you can try is, hey, Steve, or hey, Melissa, I know I'm an interruption. Can I grab 27 seconds to share why it was I chose to call you? And again, you're using that pattern interrupt. You're throwing them back by being disarmingly honest that it's a sales call. You're interrupting them and then giving them the option to let you have a bit of an opener. Once you get granted that opener, I recommend sharing the top two or top three problems your offer fixes.
So I call upon quite a few CMOs and usually they tell me they've got a good offer, but they sometimes get a tad frustrated as when idle clients are searching for your services on Google. Quite often competitors will show up above you, stealing traffic or opportunities to the website. Or maybe you invest a bit already into SEO or paid ads, but perhaps it feels like the website's failing to convert a steady flow of those visitors into qualified leads or demos for the sales team. Or maybe that's not it. Maybe you've got an agency doing some of this already, but it somewhat feels like they're failing to deliver on the big promises that they said on day one. But I get the feeling you're going to tell me none of that's ever an issue in your world.
That'd be nice. It's probably more of a timing thing. So are you a digital agency focused?
So not a feature dump, not sharing how great you are, not even mentioning your name or company name. So in our case, at Breaking B2B, I'd say, well, typically I'm calling VPs of marketing, CMOs, marketing leaders, and they tell me that usually they've got a great offer, but they're a little frustrated that every time someone searches for what you do on Google, they see one of your competitors above you stealing traffic or opportunities to your website. Or maybe that's not it. Maybe you invest in SEO or ads already, but it feels like your website is failing to convert that hard-earned traffic into a steady stream of qualified leads or demos for your sales team. Or perhaps that's not it. Perhaps you've got an agency you partner with, but are slightly concerned that they are not delivering right now. But I get the feeling, moving on to point three, I get the feeling that none of these are actually applicable to your world. So you're basically going for a super negative, which almost causes them to correct that negative. Or you could say something like, but I get the feeling that everything's perfect and none of this is even slightly relevant for you. So you're basically prompting them to correct you, because as humans, we like to, if someone says something weird and we think, no, they're wrong, we want to correct them. So you're actually going for no. You're trying to get a response by going super negative. And quite often, straight away, they'll correct you. And they might say, well, no, it's not perfect. Or they might say, yes, it's super perfect. To which, in my case, I might respond, which is relevant to my offer. You'd have to tweak this for your offer. So in my case of offering kind of to fix SEO issues or website issues, we might say, well, oh, is your website generating kind of steady flow of leads? And I'm guessing you're going to tell me that kind of sales team are fully booked and speaking to qualified prospects. And if they keep going across the yes track and they'll have none of it, then it just might be worth moving on to the next dial. But if they are receptive and they say, nothing's quite perfect, to which you would then question and say, well, of those three things, of those three problems, or in your case, you might list two juicy problems, which one would you say is an issue? And then just recap them. So in my case, I'd recap the three issues. Like, is it competitors constantly above you in organic search on Google? Is it website not converting traffic? Or is it maybe a current agency not delivering? Get them to pinpoint one problem, to which they may dive into one, or they may beat around the bush. So you try and get some more clarity. Once they do, ask for some kind of example. So can you give me I don't suppose you could give me a quick example of that. So let's pretend in my example, we said, well, yeah, quite a lot of the time competitors are above us. We have neglected organic search. We have neglected SEO. Obviously tweak that to your offer. And then you say, well, okay, could you perhaps give me a quick example of that? And they might say, well, we provide this offer, but when prospects search for on Google, our main competitors are ahead of us. And then you might say, okay, so what kind of impact, or how do you think that's affecting business, or what impact's that having on business, or how do you think that's affecting your company? And then we basically, the whole point of this is to get prospects that we're calling out of the blue to open up. So at this stage, once they start talking, you can even say something like, I appreciate I've already had that 30 seconds that I asked for. Is it okay if we talk for a minute or so longer? And that shows even more transparency and might get them to open up a bit more. That's an optional ad here. So yeah, you want to dive into that impact it's having on the business, or how is that affecting you, or how do you feel about that, and get them to open up a bit. And hopefully they'll say, well, actually it's affecting pipeline, or depending on what your offer is, or it's affecting our staff rates, or it's affecting retention, or it's affecting churn rates. And once you've got an idea, if there is actually a problem there, the whole point is you want to dig into how expensive this problem is. Are they motivated to fix it? Is it actually a problem that they're bothered about fixing? That's the whole point of a prospecting call, really, to understand if there's a problem, the impact it's having, the motivation, if they've got some motivation to get that problem fixed, and you're trying to weave in a bit of emotion, you're trying to understand if it's actually something they want to sort out. So then you might ask after that, once they've opened up a bit, you've asked a few questions, depending on the flow, you might say, have you tried to fix this before? I mean, it sounds quite annoying. Have you tried to do something in-house, or perhaps you've tried a company or a piece of tech or an agency? And again, they might say, yeah, we've tried it a few times. Didn't quite work. To which you might say, well, I mean, it sounds like a problem, but it almost feels like you might have given up, or you might have stopped trying to fix it, and you're hoping that they're going to correct you. To which they might say, well, no, we really need to solve it. We just haven't found the right partner. Or they might say, yeah, actually, it's booked on for 4:15. We're going to sort that internally. To which you might dive in a bit deeper and say, well, have you got resources in-house, or is that something you're going to fix yourself? And you want to see really if they're motivated, if they've got resources to fix it. Let's pretend they do say, well, yeah, it's something we're interested in doing. At which stage you're looking for it in where they might say something like, well, Sam, what is it you folks do? You've asked me a lot of questions. Like, what is it you actually do? At some stage, either earlier or by now, they're probably going to say, okay, you've asked me quite a lot. What is it you guys do? Which you may get asked. If you don't, you might weave this in naturally. You say, well, look, if I told you that we've helped businesses just like yourself eliminate some of these problems forever, is that something that you'd be open to discussing? Is that something you'd be against?
Do you think a catch up or me giving you a shout kind of late July, is that going to be too soon? Or
No, I think that'd be good.
Again, go for no. Is that something you'd be opposed or against to discussing further? And to which they'll probably say, I guess not. Or no. If they say something wishy-washy, like I guess not, you say, you guess not. And you want to either get a hard no, I'm not against discussing it further, or yes. And then after that, let's say they do bite and they say, yeah, I'm open to discussing it. Say, well, are you against setting some time aside, perhaps later this week, to have a chat around it and see if it is something we could potentially help with? If they say sure, you say, have you got your calendar available? Have you got a calendar open? And at which stage you can finalize a date, time and date, try and send them the calendar invite whilst you're there on the call itself. And then what you want to do to make sure they actually show up to this meeting that you've worked so hard to set, you want to share an agenda briefly on the call. So on this call, if it's okay with you, what we'll do is I'll take a little bit of time to kind of learn a bit more about your world, any problems you're having and such. But if you don't mind, if at any stage on that call you don't feel that we're a good fit to help you, are you happy to tell us no? This is what's called an upfront contract. To which they should say yes, we're happy to tell you if it's a no. And likewise, if I feel like our company is best suited to help you, do you mind if we say, no, I don't feel you're the best fit for our company? I'll even try and recommend you to one of my peers if I know someone that's a better match. To which they'll probably say, absolutely fine. Cool, I'm shooting across the calendar invite. Look forward to speaking then. One bonus is you can say, is there anyone else on your team that you feel would be annoyed if we didn't include them in the decision? Or not in the decision, rather in the appointment. To which you're trying to get all the execs on their team involved in the call, so you don't have to do back and forth. So try and get that nailed. And then the last thing you should ask is, oh, I don't suppose there's any reason why this date that we've booked in that I'll be crying into my afternoon cup of tea because you've ghosted me, you've not shown up. That won't be happening, will it? And then they'll probably correct you and say, no, we'll come because you've talked about our problems and you seem like you know what you're talking about. So I look forward to meeting. So fire over the calendar invite and there is a meeting on your books. But that's a going perfectly scenario. Well, almost perfectly. But what if they say no at any stage, or they say that's not relevant? Well, you might, again, we're going a bit deeper. So you might say, well, is everything perfect right now? Like, you, depending on what your offer is you getting more leads than sense, or is your kind of staff rate really well, or is your churn rate super good? And if you're still getting a hard no and pushback on everything, well, you might have some kind of lead magnet or something you could offer that persona. In my case, I say, are you against me kind of sharing my free playbooks and adding you to my email tips? A lot of people say, yeah, that's fine. Or can I connect with you on LinkedIn? I share daily tips around our niche here. And again, most of these people do that. And the good thing about this is you're playing the long game. So these folks that don't immediately say yes, but maybe a bit vaguely interested, you're connecting them on LinkedIn or you're adding them to your email list. And eventually you'll stay top of mind. So if they do need your offer or have the problem you fix in the future, you're going to be the one that they go to. And one last thing you can say if it's a hard no is you can ask, well, can I ask one last question before I let you go? I don't suppose you know anyone that's less fortunate than your good self that might be having these problems or might be struggling with this problem that we talked about in another organization. So you're basically asking for a referral as a last ditch option. Sometimes I'll say, yeah, actually, I know Steve or Jess at X Corp, or sometimes I say no, but you never know if you don't ask for that referral. But going down to common objections, one you might hear straight away when you do your opener, can I have 30 seconds or do you want to slam the phone on me, is I don't take cold calls, to which I heard this one, I can't remember who it was from, but is I'm guessing you hate receiving sales calls as much as I hate making them, or I'm guessing you hate receiving cold calls as much as I hate making them. Sometimes that gives me a laugh, that gives the prospect a laugh, and they'll say, go on then, have a few seconds, to which you can dive in. You might get kind of progress along this strategy I've laid out, but they might say, can you just send me an email? To which you say, happy to send an email. What is it exactly you want to see? I'm trying to get them to open up a little bit more. To which they might say, well, can you share about kind of this problem you fix? And you say, what exactly is it about that problem that's kind of that you want to discuss further? You're trying to get them to open up and kind of you're still happy to send content, but you want to have a bit more discussion and see if it's worth actually setting an appointment, and perhaps they might eventually kind of open up and talk about the problem. You can understand the impact and see if you can actually do some business and set an appointment later on the line. Or if they push for an email, try and see, ask something like, well, if I send you this email, is that just a nice way of getting me off the phone? If that's the case, I'm happy to end it now and save everyone time. Or they might push back and say, no, I do actually want to see this because it's on the radar for Q3. You might say, sure, I'll send you some info now on email. What would you like to see exactly? And then when should we chat again so you can get a call back rather than an appointment? We have a provider for that. You might say something like, that's great, most folks do. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are they performing? They might say 7 out of 10. You might say, well, what's preventing them from being a 10? And again, you're trying to get an opening to see if it's worth a conversation, perhaps picking up at a later date, if not now. Timing is off, similar kind of thing. So perhaps when it's due for renewal, is there any reason why you might look to review this in the next 6 months, or what would have to change for you in order to kind of reassess this and see if there is some kind of opening? Or perhaps it's not me. That's not me that looks after this side of the business. Okay. Would you be against sharing who actually is responsible? And I can perhaps drop them a message on LinkedIn. So that is a rundown of the flow that I've been using, some ways to, some common objections and other options to stay top of mind if it's a no for now. So when it comes to the tools for a successful cold calling strategy, data is one of the most important factors. So there's nothing more frustrating than doing cold calling and getting through to switchboards, operators, and lacking those cell phone numbers or mobile numbers for those target clients you actually want conversations and meetings with. So using a great data provider, full disclosure, I've partnered with Lusha.com to help me sponsor this video. So Lusha is a great tool I was using anyway. So the good thing about Lusha is you can quite literally go onto their prospect search. You can then type in the location. So in my case, I put United Kingdom. You can choose the industry. So we go after technology, software development companies. You can put in how many employees they should have. You can even choose if they've recently had a funding round. So perhaps they've got cash to spend on marketing or whatever your offer is. You can choose if they use certain tech. You can specify that you only want mobile numbers and perhaps direct emails. And you can also put, of course, their job title. So I put VP of Marketing, Chief Marketing Officer, and similar. And as soon as you enter that search, you're presented with target clients that fit that ideal client profile. You can then bulk select or singly select and unlock each prospect you want the details for. And the good thing about Lusha is compared to some other data providers, you're not locked into monthly or annual kind of high value contracts. You can quite literally do as a pay as you go offer. So choose how many credits you want and then start unlocking those. Download those CSVs or Excel sheets and just upload it into your dialer and start making calls. But yeah, if you want to grab a free trial and start with a few free credits, head over to Lusha.com. That'll give you some solid data to get stuck into to begin cold calling. So some of the other tools that you're going to need for your cold calling strategy is you're going to want a dialer. So this actually enables you to upload a CSV or Excel sheet of that data that you've collected with those target clients and their mobile numbers, their job title and info. So what a dialer does is it enables you to quickly whiz through rather than manually dialing on a mobile phone or a handset. It does that for you. There are things called parallel dialers or AI dialers that can make it super easy. So you can just sit back, put your headset on, and it dials for you. So it saves you time manually doing it yourself. And there's a bunch of different dialer types that you can try out. And the other piece of tech that you may want to invest in is a CRM. So what that will enable you to do is for each and every dial you make to target prospects, you can put a note against them. So perhaps appointment set or did not answer or call back in 6 months or send an email or connect on LinkedIn or add to email list, whatever is relevant. So really, as well as your data, dialer, headset, you'll be connecting it all to your PC or laptop and then perhaps a CRM. Those are the main pieces of kit that you'll need to get this fired up and running. But the CRM side of things is not exactly essential. It's useful to store all the data and take notes and such, but you might start with a more basic way of note taking when you're just getting started. So when it comes to the mindset of cold calling, you do need resilience. You will face a lot of rejections, perhaps some people that woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or some people that are just straight out going to say no. Even the odds swearing at you, you've got to have a bit of resilience. But if you're using a dialer, the good thing is that you can quickly flick past those. If they're being super rude, you can just hang up on them and move on to the next prospect. And from my experience anyway, despite what a lot of people say, it is a numbers game. Even if you make a super targeted list, not everyone's going to answer their phone. Not everyone's going to have the problems you fix. Not everyone's perhaps going to be motivated to fix them, or maybe they're not in market, or maybe they say, call me back later when it's relevant, or send me some more information, like some of those objections we talked about. So it is a numbers game, but if you've got a right list, if you've got the right mindset, and if you follow this process, just like a noob like me, you can see some results if you stick to it. And I do recommend blocking out timings in your calendar. So you say, look, 2 or 3 days a week, perhaps more, this time in the morning, this time in the afternoon, I'm going to spend an hour session. It's blocked in. I can't fill that time. We're going to hit it. We're going to stick with it and set some appointments. And there you have it. I hope you found this episode that's a little bit different to our usual style of use. And if you do want to join thousands of legends enjoying past podcast episodes, daily B2B marketing tips, stories, and guides, head over to breakingb2b.com and hit that newsletter tab. And with that, I'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.